Tuesday, August 23rd. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, Katie Sullivan of the New York Times wrote an in-depth story recently concerning drop boxes for babies. It's a conservative promotion to give up newborn babies anonymously. The Safe Haven baby box at a firehouse in Carmel, Indiana, looked like a library book drop. It had been available for 3 years for anyone who wanted to surrender a baby anonymously. No one had ever used it until early April, when its alarm went off. One of the firefighters opened the box and found, to his disbelief, a newborn baby boy wrapped in towels. Later that month, the firefighter pulled out another newborn, a girl, from the box. In May, a third. By summer, three more infants were left in the baby box.
Now, actually, this movement did not begin in Indiana. It actually began in Texas. In 1999, those who were committed to the sanctity of life all realized that there are crisis pregnancies and there is a crisis after a pregnancy as to whether someone has descended into situations that they cannot take care of the child. These safe haven boxes also protected the anonymity of the mother or the father who would bring the child and place the child there. In order to affirm the sanctity of life and to affirm the safety of that life, here is a place you can bring this child, and the child's life will be preserved and a home will be found for the child to be raised in the context of adoption. Now, it was interesting, Tom, that law and that provision coming into effect in Texas, interestingly, and I think appropriately, named the Baby Moses Law. Egypt had a death warrant that was out on all male Hebrew children. Pharaoh was fearful of the burgeoning Hebrew population. He put death warrants upon male Hebrew children that was to be enforced by the midwives. Moses' mother, Jochebed, gave birth to him and took care of him as long as she could, but eventually realized, I don't know what to do. Baby's growing up, baby's crying. She realized, I now just have to do what really all of us ultimately have to do in the final analysis. I just got to trust the Lord. And so she created this, actually the word is ark, out of tar and pitch and reeds. Made him comfortable, wrapped him up, placed him in the side of the river, knowing that there would be people coming there. And then she put her daughter Miriam there to keep watch and to see what was done. Well, again, you see the providence of God in this marvelous story. The daughter of Pharaoh finds the child and needs help in raising the child. And we end up with Moses' mother being employed to raise her own child and getting paid for it. And then, of course, we know how the Lord used Moses. So it was called the Baby Moses Law. I always thought how appropriate that was. How many children will this save who will have a life that impacts the culture? Just think of how Moses impacted the culture as he was placed in a, quote, safe haven, and God in his providence began to bring the mechanisms available for the raising of the child to a position of power, and then ultimately as an emancipator of an entire nation, and even more ultimately as a type of Christ who emancipates his new covenant people from sin in every tribe and nation. Well, now, Tom, the Baby Moses Law is present in all 50 states in some form or fashion. You see, the pro-life movement recognizes that there are crisis pregnancies. Well, instead of being in a culture of death that deals with a crisis pregnancy by killing the child, here is a way for you to deposit the child in a system that is designed to care for the child. Christians who say, we not only want the sanctity of life, we want to nurture that life. And if you can't, we will provide the means to do that with families that are ready to adopt and raise the child. And after you've deposited the child, we say to the parent that deposited the child, whatever your crisis is, here are some places you can go for your own help.
Harry, as you can imagine, there has been some pushback on these baby drop boxes. Lori Bruce, who is a medical ethicist at Yale, says birth mothers are also not immune from legal jeopardy and may not be able to navigate the technicalities of each state's safe haven laws. While many states protect surrendering mothers from criminal prosecution if the babies are healthy and unharmed. However, mothers in severe crisis dealing with addiction or domestic abuse, for example, may not be protected if their newborns are in some way affected. The idea of a traumatized postpartum mother being able to correctly Google the laws is slim, Bruce said. My concern is that means more prosecutors are going to be able to prosecute women for having unsafely abandoned their children or not following the letter of the law.
So she raises this specter that there's this horde of state prosecutors that can't wait to track these parents down who have deposited the child, while the fact of the matter is the laws that surround this safe haven movement, all designed to protect the child. Do you want a society when a parent comes up and places that child there with complete anonymity and appropriate protections legally? Do you want to create a situation where that person who brought the child obviously is in crisis? Do you want to create a situation where they are ignored in the name of protection? No. They may have addictions. They may be abused. All kinds of things. You want them to have anonymity. You want them to have protection, but you don't want to ignore them. I would love to be on the stage with this ethicist when they make the point, now that Roe v. Wade is done away with, we're in a situation of abandoned babies. I would be more than happy to be in a society that is grappling with how do we deal with babies that are abandoned out of crisis pregnancies than to be in a society that says, hey, I'll tell you how we'll avoid crisis pregnancies. We'll set up a system to kill the babies. I would rather have the challenge and the privilege to respond to the needs of the abandoned child. I would call that child a protected baby, protected from the culture of death that this ethicist seems to think the better option, abort the child and kill the child. Yesterday we had two stories that gave us a glimmer of hope. Here is another story, and I like the way you characterized it yesterday, that maybe even gives us more hope. You know, Tom, we have said all along in this new world where the Roe v. Wade was overturned, this has not settled the issue of life, but it is going to open up two things. Number one, the evil empire is going to strike back to try to reintroduce the death warrant of abortion legally in our society. But secondly, the overturning of Roe v. Wade is opening up many opportunities for us to bring the life-giving message of the gospel and the life-giving love of Christ through others to these children now going to be born instead of aborted and can now be cared for instead of abandoned. Tom, one of the great movements of the gospel in the Roman Empire that affected Constantine in his conversion and his desire to see Christianity elevated in the Roman Empire was the fact that Christians would go out and take children and women who had been abandoned. Christians were going out and rescuing them, and that so impacted Constantine that he then began to listen to his mother about Christianity and eventually committed his life to Christ. Just note how the opportunity to affirm life opens up many doors for us as Christians, not only to bless a child and bless a parent, but to bless a society, that it not descend into a death spiral, but that it ascend to the majesty and glory of the Lord God who created us, that we might enjoy Him forever.
One of the greatest joys in life is raising a family. Pastor Reader's series, 7 Essentials for the Christian Family, will help equip your family to experience life triumphantly in Christ. This 12-sermon series album, 7 Essentials for the Christian Family, is available by going to briarwood.org/7 and the word essentials. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.